my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. I love these Soulful Psalms on Word of God Wednesdays till we get a double feeding of God's Word. The Soulful Psalms, we take a look at the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every Mass, and we connect this Psalm to the daily Mass readings. Well, since this is Word of God Wednesday, we're going to take a look at the Psalm for this Sunday. Oh, and by the way, I failed to mention, Laetare Sunday comes from the Latin word laetare, which means rejoice, right? So Gaudete Sunday, which is the third Sunday in Advent, means joy, right? And so Laetare Sunday, for the fourth Sunday in Lent, is rejoice, okay? Because we're almost there at the finish line. So I forgot to mention that. All right. So the psalm for today, for Word of God Wednesday, for the fourth Sunday in Lent, is Psalm 23, probably the most familiar psalm, the most popular psalm, the most the psalm that's probably most music has been written to, has been spoken about more. You hear this psalm more at funerals, probably than any other psalm as well. The famous psalm written by David the shepherd. You know, so the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. In restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Well, because remember, David was a shepherd, and it actually ties in beautifully with the first reading. So the first reading is from 1 Samuel 16. This is one of my favorite sections of 1 Samuel. So get a little bit of a background here for today's for the first reading for Sunday. God is displeased with the first king of Israel, who is Saul. And remember, Samuel was pleading on the people not to have a king. He goes, the Lord is your king. Let the Lord rule over you. But the Israelites, no, we want to be like everybody else. All the pagan cultures around us, you know, they have a king. And so we want to be like everybody else. We want to have a king. And so the Lord said, okay, you know, let them have their king. And so Saul was made the first king. But Saul is not doing what God needs him to do. And God is displeased with Saul. And so he sends the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king of Israel. He sends him to Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem, the house of bread, to the house of Jesse. And we see two prophetic things here. First of all, we see in Isaiah, right? It says, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, right? Obviously alluding to David there, who's a son of Jesse. But it says a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. So the word for shoot is Nazareth in Hebrew. Nazareth. Nazareth. Right? So it means to shoot from a plant is Nazareth. So you see the tie. You see Jesse. You see Bethlehem. And you see Nazareth. Right? So come on. The Old Testament, you know, pointing to Jesus. This is the kind of thing that we talk about. We talk about allegorical reading of Scripture. All right, beautiful. And so Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, which of course would be the city of David. And he's going to choose his new king from among his sons. So he goes to the house of Jesse. Jesse has eight sons, but he only lines seven of them up when Samuel comes to the house. Eliab, Abinadab, Shema, four other sons. The only son that's not included is David. And so Samuel looks at the first son, Eliab. Oh my, look at this guy. He looks like a king. It doesn't describe what Eliab looked like, but he's probably tall, handsome, probably muscular, like a manly man. Oh, this guy is a king. And what does Samuel say? Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And he goes to pour the oil of anointing, you know, thinking surely this must be the new king. And the Lord says, no, not him. But he's flabbergasted, Samuel. What do you mean? I mean, I'm at the right house. Yeah, there's Jesse standing over there in the corner. You know, I got the oil. What's the problem? And what does he say? Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, and the Lord looks into the heart. Ah, now you see the tie-in with the gospel now, don't you? You know, Jesus heals the blind man. Now here's Samuel, the prophet, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, was blind because he was looking at the physical attributes. God was looking deeper than that. He was looking at the heart, or leb in Hebrew. The heart is a place where your desire for God lives inside of you. That's what God was looking at. Not the outside, but the inside. So Samuel was blind to what God was looking at. God looks deeper. God looks within our hearts. He looks within ourselves. So to help us to become the person he created us to be. But sometimes we're blind because we're like Samuel. We look at the outside. We look at someone and we make judgments about them without even knowing the person. Without knowing their heart, without knowing the story of their life, without knowing anything about them, we make judgments about them. You know, that happens to me sometimes. You know, people found out I went to Notre Dame. First thing they say is, what position did you play? Because they just assumed that I played football, which I did not. So clearly, my high school didn't even have football. You know, so things like that, we cannot continue to look at the outside because that's the spiritual blindness. In fact, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how did God remove your spiritual blindness? Maybe you were afraid to look at the weaknesses within yourself. Maybe you were the one who were looking and making judgments about other people. Maybe we weren't looking at the needs of others. You know, maybe we were blind to the weaknesses within ourselves. How did God help heal your spiritual blindness? Just like he helped to heal the blindness of Samuel. Just like Jesus helped to heal the blindness of the man in the gospel today. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as someone who has tattoos, I would easily say, if you want to judge me by the book of the cover, then you're missing out on a lot of stories because they all point back to something that God has done in my life. But what I love is some of them tell the past, some of them tell the now. And God is, it's one of those where the conversations, the depth of conversations with strangers I've been allowed to have, for people to just go, hey, that's cool, tell me about that one. And then, or vice versa, seeing someone else and allowing that to open up the rapport, because you never know, whether you're a seedling or you're the harvester or whatever, you never know what's going to happen in that transition, rather than just going, ah, tattoo, must be a hoodlum, you know, or whatever you want to label them. But beyond, you know, tattoos and scars, I mean, really, to get to the heart of someone. I mean, we've talked about, you know, understanding like their musical preferences. Why do they like those bands? You know, what is it about those songs that speaks to them? It's because it reached them into a place where they needed it.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, it reminds me of that there's a Josh and another guy on Instagram who help poor people. They just walk up to them and just ask what their name is and what their story is.
Yeah.
And how many times have we just walked by someone like that, not even thinking, like, I don't even want to be near a person like that. Or just like you, with, oh, I see tattoos. Oh, you know, that me. No, how about asking about? I did that in the gym once. You know, I saw a guy covered with tats, and I just asked him about them, you know, because I just thought, was, instead of thinking, oh, man, gosh, I would never do that to myself,
right.
You know, go and find out the story, maybe. You know, if you have a little time, instead of making judgments, you know, and start a conversation, you know. And I have to do a better job because I'm a pretty intense introvert, so I don't want to talk. But I have done that, though. I've been doing that more. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see something or see someone, I'm like, oh, I'm curious about that. Let me go deeper.
Yeah.
You know, let me go deeper. Not me make a judgment. Let me go deeper and find out more and hear this person's story. I think we need to do more of that as a people of God.
Yeah. What is the quote? Be curious, not judgmental.
Yes, yes, there you go. Love that.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.